Matthew chapter 5. And let's read just verse number 7. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." This morning we want to talk about the subject of mercy. But before we get into the message, let's pray and ask God to bless our service. Lord, again, I am grateful to be here and to be a part of this church this morning. Lord, I'm grateful that we have in our hands the completed and perfect Word of God. And Lord, I pray that we might not underestimate the importance of the Word of God. I pray we might understand that it is perfect and that it is able to make us perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And God, I pray that you would use the Word of God today as it goes forth in the hearts and lives of your people, including myself, that we would be encouraged, exhorted, and convicted to exhibit mercy in our lives towards others who have offended us. And may we be conscious of the manner in which you treat us and in turn try to treat others in the same way. God, I pray that we might be called your children, not just because of our faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, but we might be called the children of God by this world because we exhibit characteristics that you possess in your being. So God, bless this message as it goes forth. I pray that you would help me as I deliver it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you're to read and to focus on the second part of that verse, they shall obtain mercy, you might ask yourself, do I want to obtain mercy? And I think all of us probably would universally agree that yes, we want to obtain the mercy of God in our lives. Well, you know, if we're to obtain mercy from God, the Bible says here that we are to be merciful. And so I hope that as I talk and preach this morning on the subject of mercy, we'll understand what it means to be merciful, that we might then exhibit it in our lives, and then in our own lives and at the judgment seat of Christ be extended mercy by God Almighty. The word and the characteristic of God, mercy, has been described as a word, as an attribute that is associated with many different adjectives. That is, as you read the scriptures preceding the word mercy, you'll find a number of adjectives describing it. Everlasting mercy. Manifold mercies of God. The great mercy of God. The tender mercies of God. The multitude of mercies that God exhibits. God is called the Father of mercy. And so we can understand by that mercy is a very important subject for the child of God. You know, some people view reading the dictionary as boring. But as I was meditating on this message yesterday, I realized that it really depends upon which word you're reading about. Because I read Webster's definition for the word mercy, and I just kept reading it. Matter of fact, if it was a text found in the scriptures, we could spend an awful lot of time talking about it. And I want you to pay attention to what Mr. Webster says of the word mercy. He says that benevolence, and that word benevolence simply means compassion or love. That benevolence, mildness or tenderness of heart, which disposes, that is, causes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice. If God possessed only the attribute of justice and did not possess the attribute of mercy, we would be in a heap of trouble. And likewise, in an individual's life, when they are focused on justice to the neglect of mercy, you're in for a very harsh treatment. And that's why Mr. Webster says, mercy tempers justice. It says, he goes on, induces an injured person, that is mercy, induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment. Overlook punishment. Bypass. Forfeit punishment. Or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. Now, I want you to understand this in relationship to the subject of mercy. Because many, especially those of the liberal persuasion, would apply what the Bible has to say about mercy to a judicial system, which can be very dangerous. Because the purpose of a judicial system, such as we have in America, is to enforce the law. And they can't simply decide to pardon criminals at will. Those that break the laws within a society need to be punished to hinder other people from doing the same. But in reference to an individual, and that's what I believe most of the texts regarding mercy have to do with the individual, it would cause someone to inflict less than law or justice would warrant. In other words, not throw the book at them. Mercy. If you possess mercy and you exhibit it towards other individuals, when they wrong you, when they injure you, you're not going to want to throw the book at them and hope that justice is done and that they get what they deserve. Now, if you're exhibiting mercy, then you'll not want them to get what they deserve. Rather, you'd want to forgive them. When I read at least the last part of that definition, the first individual that came to mind was the woman taken in adultery. Jesus, I think we would have to agree, is just. And the Pharisees brought this woman who was taken in the very act of adultery and said, the law commands us to stone this woman, but what do you say? Jesus said, he that's without sin cast the first stone. And they all walked away being convicted. It would have been within Jesus' authority and legal right by the Old Testament and as creator to have that woman stoned. He probably would have called for the man first, though. But that's not what he did. What he did was extend mercy. And when the Bible talks of mercy here, in Matthew chapter 5, that is what it's talking about. That type of attitude. Mercy. Let me say a few things about God's mercy. In a general sense, God's mercy is shown to every creature in the universe daily. There's one aspect of God's mercy that is universal, and we all benefit from it. Lamentations 3:22 speaks of it. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And then it says, because His compassions fail not. It's interesting that God's mercy is many times associated and connected with His love. What is it that causes God to exhibit mercy? It's His love and it's His compassion for we, His creatures. He loves us and therefore He extends mercy. But God extends mercy not just upon believers, but His mercy is extended upon everything within this universe every day. Again, what did the verse say? It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. If it were not for God's mercies, we would right now be thrown into the flames of hell. Because that is what we deserve. Were it not for God's mercy, the oxygen would evaporate and be gone, and all of us would die. Were it not for God's mercy, there would be no snow, there would be no rain, and there would be no crops. All of those things come about is God's mercy. If we're healthy, if we're wealthy, or even if we're not wealthy, whatever amount of money we have in our pocket is because of the mercy of God. And in that general sense, God's mercy is bestowed upon every person in this world every day. Because every good thing that we enjoy, we do not deserve. We don't deserve any of it. I'm reminded of Brother Jebediah Porter's message when he talked about the goodness of God and the sinfulness of man. And if we will truly come to grasp with those two biblical principles, it will change our lives. We tend to murmur when things go bad because we think that we deserve better. But the truth of the matter is, we do not deserve better. Any good thing that we get from God is undeserved. However, in a more specific sense, and that is in regards to salvation, God's mercy is conditional. God's mercy is only extended as we repent of our sins and place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." God saves us when we, by faith, put our trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so in that sense, God, that type of mercy that God exhibits is conditional. It's conditional upon our faith in Christ. And if you've not yet put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you need to do that in order to obtain God's mercy. Because when you get saved, then God will not send you to hell. Instead, He'll give you all the splendor of heaven. A couple other things in regards to God's mercy. God's mercy is praiseworthy. Psalm 118, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." Give thanks unto the Lord. It explains to us why we should do so. For He is good. Why is He good? Because His mercy endureth forever. The chapter goes on. Again, Psalm 118, verse 2. "Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever." They're supposed to talk about God's mercy to people. "Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever." Psalm 136 and verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Of course, Psalm 136 ends every verse, "For His mercy endureth forever." And a number of those verses say prior to saying that, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods," or the Lord of lords. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. It never runs out. Aren't you glad that God's mercy never runs out? I'm glad. I'm glad He continuously exhibits mercy towards my rotten soul, even when I don't deserve it. Mercy is one of the weightier matters of the law. So, or Matthew 23:23 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, Jesus is speaking. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which include judgment, mercy, and faith. Jesus said, these ought ye have done, not to leave the other undone. I mean, it's important to tithe. Jesus, I guess in a roundabout way, he's at least commending them for tithing. We are obligated to tithe and to give to the work of the Lord. I mean, you know, God's work would be greatly hindered if God's people did not tithe, did not give. I don't know, it would seem to me like it would almost be impossible for the work of God to go on. And that's probably not entirely true, but the work of the Lord would be much more difficult to perform without God's people giving. But as important as tithing might be, it is not one of the weightier, it is not one of the more important subjects of the Bible. But mercy is. Mercy is one of the more important subjects of the Bible. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Again, when you read the context, you'll find that Jesus was there eating with sinners. And the Pharisees couldn't figure out why. Why is Jesus eating with sinners? Doesn't he know, this is perhaps what they were thinking, doesn't he know that these people weren't worthy of his presence? They're sinners. They're wicked men and women. And that's why Jesus told them, you go and figure out what this means, all right? You guys go spend some time thinking about this. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. God is eager. He is eager to extend his mercy to his creatures. That's why he so often invited them to come unto himself. In Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He invited them to come and be forgiven. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wanted the Pharisees to go and to think about something. What he wanted them to think about was how he wants to extend mercy, because it's something they did not understand. They wanted justice to be performed, but their hearts were not filled with mercy. I liken the Pharisees unto many of these radical Muslims around the world today. They're quick to exercise judgment, justice, but I don't see within their hearts any room for mercy. And they need to go and ponder the statement that Jesus made to the Pharisees here. So again, in relationship to God's mercy, he extends it to the world universally every day. He shows specific mercy to those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His mercy is praiseworthy. He delights to show mercy. It is one of the more weightier subjects, one of the more important subjects of the Bible. But then what about us in regards to mercy? Are we merciful? You know, I think I can accurately conclude from the scriptures that being merciful is not something that we come by naturally. If you don't believe me, look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. And of course, prior to this, Jesus gave the formula for dealing with trespasses and offenses. This is the formula that we often talk about in relationship to church discipline. You go to that person alone and you take another or two with you, and then you bring it before the church if they refuse to repent. That's how you handle offenses and trespasses. And so immediately after Jesus giving that instruction, Simon Peter asks him a question in verse 21. And he says, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Notice the first thing out of Simon Peter's mouth. The Lord's talking about trespasses, talking about offenses and how to deal with them. And it's obvious, as Jesus gives that instruction, that he expects individuals to forgive someone when they repent. And so Simon Peter, well, how many times do I need to forgive them? I mean, I sense in Simon Peter this idea and this thought, well, surely I just don't forgive him indefinitely. I mean, do I do this every time? I mean, what if they offend me, you know, seven times in a day? Is that how many times I forgive them, and then not the eighth? And Jesus saith unto him, verse 22, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Peter wants to know, what am I required to do? And many times, people who want to know what they're required to do, they want to know that so that they don't have to go any further. I'm confident that there are probably some people that write down how many times somebody offends them so that when they get up to 490, that's it, I'm cutting them off. And they'll say to themselves, I take the Bible literally. I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. If you look at Luke's account, he even words it a little bit differently to help us with our understanding of this. He says, if he offends you seven times in a day, you forgive him seven times. You know, the Bible says in Luke 6:36, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. To what extent are we to exhibit mercy towards others? To the same extent that God exhibits it and extends it to us. And I know you probably don't keep track of how many times you offend God in a day. You probably aren't aware of how many times you offend God in a day. But it doesn't matter how many times you offend Him in a day or in your lifetime. When you come to Him and you repent and you ask forgiveness, He always extends mercy. And He expects us to extend the same degree of mercy towards others that He has towards us. Jesus gives an illustration here in Matthew chapter 18 also. Jesus says we have His instructions towards dealing with offenses. We have Peter's question, Jesus' answer, and now Jesus is going to give an illustration to help us understand what He's talking about. It's a parable. He says in verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which took account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. I mean, this guy owed him a great deal of money. So much that he was probably never going to be able to pay off his debt in his lifetime. And so the master said, sell all that he has, put him in jail. But then the man begs for mercy. And what does the master do? He is moved with compassion, and it says, loosed him and forgave him the debt. He just forgave it. He didn't say, well, pay me what you can, and I'll forgive the rest. He just forgave the whole debt. He said, just forget about it. We'll wipe the slate clean. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Again, this is a much smaller amount of money. Much smaller than, 10,000 talents. And he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He asked for mercy as well. From the man that was just extended mercy by his master. And he says he would not. And he did cast him into prison until he could pay all that he owed him. You know, I sometimes I make comments. I do this all the time. I use exaggerations to prove my point. I mean, I was talking the other day in one of my messages, and you know, I said to wives, you know, you should all say to your husbands, you know, they have big muscles. She said, well, and the wife's going to say, well, they don't have big muscles. And I said, well, why? And my family, they called me on that later on. You told them to lie. I said, well, I was exaggerating to prove my point. The point is, if a woman doesn't have something positive to say about her husband, the problem isn't with the husband, it's with the wife. And the Bible does this all the time. And really, I think Jesus is using exaggerating here in a sense. Because you read the story and think, certainly nobody could ever act like this. I mean, if you just read the story, this man goes in, he owes 10,000 talents, he begs for mercy, his master shows him mercy, and he's like, yoo-hoo, celebrating. He goes out that same day and goes to his servant and says, you owe me? And when he begs for mercy, throws him in jail? Nobody could be that foolish. Could they? But that's what we do all the time. All the time. Not remembering how good and merciful that God is to us. Even though we injure and offend Him. And when people injure and offend us, we don't extend them mercy. We don't overlook their faults. We instead seek for judgment and justice to be done. We want to throw the book at them. How dare we justify our treatment towards someone based on how they treat us? How dare us do that? When we have offended God in numerous ways, and He chooses and desires to forgive us. You see, I based on what Simon Peter says here, I don't think it's real natural for us to extend mercy towards those that have wronged us. I think our flesh seeks judgment to be done. I don't think it wants to extend mercy. But Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, as I just thought about this message last night, and I thought about the mercy of God, I can't help but be fascinated by God, by who He is, and His attributes. You know, there are people that want to deny the Bible and say that it is of a man's origin. We've made this impossible. I don't believe man, left to himself, could fathom what the Bible has to say about mercy. That mercy would universally be accepted as something that's good, great, and wonderful. And God's mercy endureth forever. How did Mr. Webster define mercy? It causes a person to overlook injuries, to treat an offender better than he deserves. Has God treated you better than you deserve? Well, how have you treated others in return? Do you treat them better than they deserve? Because often, even if you may not utter it outwardly, in your heart you're saying that person does not deserve to be treated good by me. And shame on us if that ever enters our heart. I don't know how in the world we could say that if our minds are fixed upon what God has done for each of us. Mercy, what did he say? Induces an injured person to forgive and to forbear punishment. I preached this message before, and so I have some examples down here. I read this first one and I thought, I wonder if that really happened. These are examples of when we perhaps don't want to show mercy. How about when your spouse puts the hamburger back in the freezer after you set it out to thaw? Did that happen to us?
I think it has.
I read that and I thought, that must have happened. It was probably me that put it back in the freezer. And my wife probably wasn't very forgiving. Probably why I wrote it down. Probably easier to bring up this time than last time, though. But I freshened my memory last time. Freshened hers too. I don't know, maybe this happened too. Your sibling breaks one of your favorite items after you told them to leave it alone. Does that happen to any of y'all? You tell your brother and your sister, don't touch that because you'll break it. And they touch it and they break it? Do you feel like extending mercy? Probably not. And probably even if they say, I'm sorry, it don't mean much to you, does it? How about this one? Your employer promised you a raise, and then they did not give it to you. You know, most people I find, this will probably be the second year at my current job, that they don't give out raises. You know, I've only been there 2 years too, by the way. And I bet you those people will be complaining, but you'll not hear a word out of me. I praise the Lord for the job I have and the salary I get, because it's a lot better than what I deserve. Most people don't think that way. They think they deserve something better. And the person, oh, but they promised us this year would be different. They said this year they'd give us raises, and now they're not. Real merciful, isn't it? Oh, but you're not supposed to be merciful toward employers. Just individuals, right? What if we're not merciful? Matthew 6:15 says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, if you don't forgive people, if you don't extend mercy, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. You know, to get mercy, and this is what our text says, to get mercy, you have to first show mercy. If you want mercy, if you want mercy in your life on a daily basis and at the judgment seat of Christ, you are going to have to extend mercy to other people. God says, if you're not going to forgive people in this life, don't come to me asking for forgiveness. Because until you forgive those that trespass against you, I'm not going to forgive you your trespasses. And what that means for the child of God is your fellowship with God is broken. If you can't forgive men and extend mercy. James 2:13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. I tell you what, lost people sometimes are better at this than we are. I used to work with another guy, and you know what? When they, and this was when I was in Indianapolis, and of course they had layoff after layoff there. And there was one guy, he was adamant, when they let people go, they got severance. And he was willing to fight to make sure that they got their severance. I mean, he was fighting for them. And one time I said to my boss, I said, what in the world? Why is he so adamant about this? And he said, because when he goes, he wants to make sure he gets his. That it made perfect sense to me. But he wasn't going to ask something for himself that he didn't expect others to get. Remember the one man in Jesus' parable? When he knew he was going to lose his stewardship, before he lost it, he went off, you know, and he kind of wrote down everybody's bill. Pay me half and we'll just call the thing good. Why did he do that? So that when he was put out of the stewardship, those people would receive him. They'd like him. Sometimes lost people are better at this. How would you want people to react and to approach you if you fell into sin? Would you want them to condemn you immediately? I have brought up people's faults at different times, or it's come up in conversation and subject, and the first thing out of somebody's mouth is church discipline. And I shouldn't laugh about it, but hello? Even if that was what needed to happen, there's kind of a process along the way. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. You know, one of the things that causes me to treat people kindly and maybe softly sometimes, is I know how I would want to be treated if I fell into sin, because I know how merciful I want God to be towards me when I am at the judgment seat of Christ. And if I have been harsh with people here on earth every time they injured me or did something wrong, that's the way the judgment seat of Christ is going to be for me in heaven. And I don't want that. Again, what does our text say? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. You know, in the adult Sunday school class, we're going over the different gifts that the Holy Ghost gives to believers for the edification of the church. And one of the gifts is mercy. And there are others that seem kind of general, like faith, ministry, things like that, that seemingly apply to every one of us. And that's why I haven't really came to any dogmatic conclusion about some of those gifts, because I just haven't gotten to a place where I can accept any of the understandings that other people espouse. You know, it used to be knowledge and wisdom. I thought, knowledge and wisdom, everybody possesses knowledge and wisdom. So what is meant by knowledge and wisdom can't be what I think it is. And it's not. It's talking about supernatural wisdom and knowledge. It's talking about revelatory things. And we talked about that briefly this morning. And I understand that. But what about mercy? What, somebody has the gift of mercy? We're all supposed to extend to others the same level of mercy that God does to us. To me, that's a special dose of mercy. And we're all supposed to possess that. Does God supernaturally give someone else the disposition to extend mercy? I don't know, maybe He does. When you talk about exhortation, that is encouragement. That's also a gift. You probably see that in Barnabas. I mean, he approached others in a way and a manner that other people just were reluctant to do so. And so maybe I can understand by that example what is meant by exhortation or encouragement. I just kind of throw that out there for thought, give you something to think about before our class next Sunday. But I guess I won't be there, though, to talk about it, will I? Merciful. But mercy is something every single one of us are to extend. And we're to extend it to others in the same manner and to the same degree that God has extended it to us. So let me close with this, and this is perhaps directed towards anyone that's lost and not saved. Luke 16:24, it says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham," this is the rich man that was in hell, "have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Here is one of the only examples of a man asking for mercy and it not being extended by God. And that's because it was too late. He was dead and he was in hell and he waited too long. Hebrews 10:28 says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Someone broke the law. They despised Moses' law in regards to certain transgressions. They died without mercy. All of us are enjoying God's mercy today. But if you're lost, if you are not saved, you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you were to die, you would die without mercy. God's mercy is absent in hell. It's absent in the lake of fire. There is no mercy. It's ran out. And so I encourage you not to despise the Bible. Those that reject God's word ultimately will die without mercy and suffer for it eternally in hell. But God wants to extend mercy. He's eager about it. And He wants us to be just as eager. If we're to be His children, we're to be merciful. Again, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you want to obtain mercy from God, you need to exhibit mercy towards other individuals. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the things that we can learn from it. God, I pray that the Spirit of God would impress upon our hearts the meaning of mercy. And God, I pray that You would help us in our day-to-day lives to extend it towards others. Lord, I am grateful for Your mercy towards me. I'm grateful for the mercy that You extended towards me in regards to salvation, not giving me what I deserve, which is the lake of fire, but instead giving me an eternal home in heaven with Thee. And Lord, I'm thankful that You offer an invitation to every person alive today, that if they would only come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they could be shown the same degree of mercy and be saved. And God, if there is one here this morning that's not saved, work in their heart and life, convict them of their sin, draw them unto Thyself, that they could be born again. And God, just again, impress upon our hearts and minds the need to be merciful towards others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.